Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
That's a great segue to talking to James Marilat, not just because he's my boss. 1043thefan.com. And I'm always kissing up. That's you can count on that, James. No question there.
That sounds like the Cecil I know.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait a minute. So now I'm the equivalent of the London game? Is that what you're saying? That's not necessarily like confidence.
Well, you're like the Super Bowl, right? It's the Super Bowl of our week. How about that?
Sure.
Is that better?
Okay.
Good day. All right. Checks in the mail. But you got Timeline 25. Let's talk about this. Timeline 25. You started with remembering the biggest Colorado sports stories of 1995. Timeline 25, your new series, 1043thefan.com. James Marilat joining the show. And let's talk about that and talk about, of course, our station's debut, which we're celebrating, of course, 25 years here with The Fan.
Yeah, March 6, 1995, The Fan was on a different signal, but The Fan debuted, so it's been around for a little more than 25 years. So we're taking this kind of off time to take a look back and kind of see what happened during those 25 years. So for every year, we'll do a couple of different things. So it started today with 1995, and we did kind of the five biggest stories from that year, which, wow, what a year 1995 was. I mean, you had the Avs moving here. The Avs trading for Patrick Waugh. You had Dan Issel resigning, 34 games into the season, just the season after the Nuggets upset the Sonics. So they were like this hot team and everybody was all in on it. And he bailed, 34 games in. Coors Field opened. And then, of course, the Broncos drafted Terrell Davis. Mike Shanahan getting hired didn't even make the top five. So that tells you how big of a year it was in 1995.
Wow.
And then tomorrow we'll do the second piece on 1995. So we're going to take kind of a, I don't know if it's an unknown character, but just kind of maybe a forgotten character from each year and kind of look at what they did. So I won't tell you who it is, but I will say it's the player who scored the first goal in Colorado Avalanche history. Wasn't Joe Sakic, wasn't Peter Forsberg, wasn't the usual suspects. So it's kind of a fun look back at like, oh yeah, I remember that name. So with every year, we'll do 2 days. One will be the big stories, and then one will be the, I remember that name. So we'll do this from now until training camp, breaking down all 25 years. So started off with a bang. I had no idea that 1995, I mean, I was here. I was a fan of all those teams. I remembered those moments once I did the research, but boy, if you'd have told me all that happened in 1 year, I would not have believed it.
James, what's the biggest sports moment that you can remember in Denver sports history?
I'm going to give you two. One was January 25th, 1998, when the Broncos won Super Bowl 32. Winning a championship for the Broncos after 37 years of trying, after four lost Super Bowls, that's a moment that people will, it's just etched in your memory. But I'm old enough to remember 1977 barely. And I think partially I remember it because I've heard the stories so much from, my brother, my dad, my grandpas. I feel like I was, more than 4 years old and living through it, but 1977 when the Broncos, went to the Super Bowl. So January 1, 1978, when they beat the Raiders in the AFC title game to go to the Super Bowl, that team, Denver was sort of a cow town, not on the national radar for really anything up to that point. And all of a sudden, the city kind of became a player because the Broncos made it to the Super Bowl. That really kind of started it all. There are a lot of them, though. I mean, I was at Mile High Stadium when EY hit the home run in the first ever at-bat, home at-bat for a Rockies player. There's been a ton of cool things, but Super Bowl 32 and the 1977 AFC Championship game would be my top two.
He's James Marilat, 1043thefan.com. And James, because you're doing Timeline 25 and got me thinking about the early days of our station, our beloved station. Remember those old Monaco studios, and just all that went into that. The voices that we had on this station, fantastic voices. You know, Doug Moe, Tom Green, etc. Adam Schefter had a show on this station when he was with the Rocky Mountain News. John Regal, who I bring up, was all the time as a really an inspiration for me personally. Although I never got to meet John before he passed. I didn't work in sports radio until after that. But I just want to know, brother, like, you've been in this business a long, long time. What made you fall in love with sports radio? Because we all, you know, we love sports, right? But sports radio and just remembering when that became a thing and just falling in love with that. What, you know, where were you? What were you doing? Why did you fall in love with sports radio?
I was in the car with my dad, and he was in the excavating business, so he had to have a cell phone so he could call. Is before cell phones were like they were now.
Were they the big brick? Did you have the big brick cell phone with the cell phone in the bag? Remember those cell phones in the bag that you plugged into the cigarette lighter?
That's exactly what it was. It was the cell phone in the bag. And so we were driving to pick my brother up from football practice. And John Elway had just signed a contract to become the first NFL player to make $1 million per year. And I called into the, it was KOA, don't mind saying, I called into the station. And I was, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old, and they were asking for opinions. And so I talked to the host, I don't remember who it was. They recorded it. And like 5 minutes later, we're still driving down Federal. And all of a sudden I'm on the radio as they're playing me calling in and giving my opinion to some 12 or 13 year old kid. Like I have any idea. Right. And the minute I heard that, not because my voice was great or not because my opinion was great, but it was like, oh my God, I can be on the radio and it can go out and people can hear what my my opinion is on these things. And from that moment, I was hooked. I listened to The Fan from the day it launched. I remember that summer of 1995. Woody Page had a show. He was on kind of the noon hour. And I remember him talking about how this, don't get too excited. I've seen these rookies come and go, dime a dozen. This Terrell Davis is just a training camp darling. Well, that turned out to not be correct. I'm sure he loved me telling that story.
Right.
But yeah, it was, you know, kind of getting a little bit of a taste of it. Of once you're on the airwaves, it gets in your blood, man. It's hard to shake that. And then you realize, hey, this is fun. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to make a living at it, which I'm the luckiest person going, yeah, you ride that wave as long as it's going to go.
Well, James, what do you think sports will look like once we finally get back to playing games? What do you think that could be changed to make the fan experience so much better and kind of put people's minds at ease?
Well, you know, and I've been saying this for a long time, and people like to laugh at the Chargers playing in a soccer stadium. I really think and have said that I think that sports are going the direction of smaller venues anyway, because, you know, it's frankly, it's, you know, with HDTV, the picture is better at home. You got replays. You know, here in Colorado now, you can place a bet on your phone. I mean, there's a lot of things that the beers aren't $9 in your own refrigerator. So I think, you know, initially we're going to see people watching games from home because there's going to be either limited crowds or no crowds. And I think that's going to speed up the sort of this transition to, you know what, the vast majority of people probably watch them at home right now anyway, but almost everybody is going to, you know, create some new traditions, start watching them at home. I mean, let's just say you go through an entire NFL season where there are no fans in the stadium. You know, you start kind of creating a tailgate where, you know, you have a backyard barbecue or a driveway barbecue before the Broncos game. You make all the same stuff you used to. It's pretty easy to decide, you know what, maybe I won't go down 3 hours early, pay $30 for parking, spend a couple hundred bucks on tickets. This was pretty fun. I think I'll just watch it from the comfort of my own home. So very long-winded answer, Nick, for me to say, well, I think we're going to see, you know, limited or no crowds to begin with. And I think that's going to sort of put it in the HOV lane of getting to smaller crowds in the future. I think that's going to kind of become the norm.
He is James Merrillat. Check out his work at 1043thefan.com and sign up for that Denver Sports Daily. It's our free daily newsletter Monday through Friday. The Denver Sports Daily. All that top Denver sports news right to your inbox, hot and fresh. Denver Sports Daily, James Merrillat, 1043thefan.com. James, be good, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.